Hey podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch up, we get your suburb's best dish.
What about when you messed up with what you threw on in the morning?
Check in with the two Kates from Get Crackin'.
And Matt's taking another big step in life. Is it too much? Too soon? You okay, bud?
Yeah.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5. RAC know that maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA.
I love when the two Kates, we speak of our next guests, of course, Kate McCartney and Kate McLennan, with the blurb about their catering show came out and it said, Kate McCartney has been interested in food since never. It's just the polar opposite to all of the cooking reality shows we have on TV, from The Catering Show, of course, to Get Crackin', which is back on ABC tonight.
We bloody love Australia.
We bloody do.
So much to be proud of.
So much.
I mean, we have a racist border protection policy. We cannot acknowledge the ongoing trauma caused by our genocidal past. Toxic masculinity is killing our women. Capitalist greed is destroying our planet. And the internet speed is but we bloody love Australia.
Two Kates are better than one. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Kate. Now, you ladies created this show because, quote, we don't just not know about food, we not know about everything.
We stand by that.
Does it mean that you had to study some pretty tedious morning television in research?
Look, we dip into it as much as you can possibly dip into it and not lose your mind watching it.
I think McLennan has a much stronger constitution than me, so you were able to watch a lot more than I was. Mm. I could get up to maybe like 2:30 and then I'd be like, I'm out.
You're done.
I don't need an insurance plan.
You don't even need to watch morning television to get a sense of it. You just need to read news.com and you get a whole bunch of stories about what's happening, you know. It's been, I feel like the Sunrise and the Today Show have given us so much fodder over the last couple of years. And now, you know, Studio 10 are really giving it a nudge as well.
Aren't they?
And I guess that is the reason that it works, right? Because actually we have this strange love-hate relationship with morning television.
Yeah, I don't know how it became so, but it's like they used to just sort of talk about the news and have some light. Now they're so powerful and so famous, the people who were delivering the news in the first place.
Yeah.
And often more famous than the people that they're talking about.
Yeah.
It's quite weird. It's a very weird dynamic. And, you know, right for the for taking the piss out of.
Yeah. Which is what it's all about, and having a bit of a laugh. Hey, girls, when I could say Kate and you both answer, but on a paddle steamer on the Murray River, talking rubbish at times, just cracking each other up, is it sometimes hard to get through stuff? Because I'm laughing watching. What's it like doing it?
Yeah, I admit this season we have a blooper reel that's coming out at the end and we do lose it a lot. We were laughing a lot during the making of this season.
Yeah, we had really good dumb co-stars in the first episode. You know, we've got Denise Scott and Fiona O'Loughlin, Aylan Bannis, Heidi Arena, Justine Clark. So it was just this big group of women. At one point we were all in fits of giggles and we went, This is really fun.
And do you hope that this show can change morning TV, or is that a lost cause?
I feel like it's a lost cause. Hopefully we can change the way people think about morning TV when they watch it. That would be the hope, that people inquire a little bit more and expect a bit more. But, you know, look, we just... the show kind of oscillates between making a heavy satirical point, and then there's just some episodes where it is just so silly and ridiculous. The second episode, we have a studio audience, and the studio audience just hate us, and so we spent the whole time trying to make the studio audience like us, and then at the end, it ends up being, you know, a full-on battle between us and the studio audience. And I don't really know what the satirical point of that episode is at
nothing.
All.
We got the feedback on it that it was hard-hitting, and we're like, was it?
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean...
because it has a puppet in it.
Yeah, we just wanted to get a puppet on stage. So.
Well, the success that you guys have had has been fantastic, coming the way you've come through sort of the YouTube way and onto ABC TV. And I noticed that Rick Kolovsky, the head of ABC Comedy, says that one of the reasons for your popularity is you've managed to get fans from every demographic, including angry old guys who've just got Facebook and people who only watch shows that offend them. So you're doing very well.
Yeah, actually said last night that we have the highest viewership of under 50 of any ABC TV show.
Right.
Which, you know, is interesting. You sort of think about the people who will watch. And we have people who will tune in tonight at 9 o'clock, but then we also have a lot of people who will just watch it on iView.
Yeah. Catch up later.
And you know, it's great to know that there are such a, you know, there's such a diverse kind of appeal of people watching the show. I'm still baffled that there are... that there are white men over the age of 60 who find the show funny. There are some, though.
Oh, there are some.
Not my dad. Not like
certainly not. I was told in no uncertain terms that my cleaning lady, she does not like my show.
She's not big on it?
Okay. Lorraine doesn't like it.
No,
not for her.
Too far.
Oh, yeah. Lorraine.
And, it's our kids like it, and they're three, so you know it gets the tick of approval from them. So they've learnt some new words, but that's okay. It's all language.
Well, I just think it's very cool the thought of someone sitting in public transport in peak hour in Sydney this morning watching a replay of your show, and everyone on the bus or trains going, "What the hell is that?"
Oh God! Yeah, just put it on.
Yeah.
Turn up the speakers. Just let everyone have a listen.
Thanks, girls. Good to talk to you.
You too.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber.
We want to know what the best dish is in your suburb.
Sausage roll at Golden Bakery.
So, you don't get me wrong. A sausage roll is pretty good.
Yum. Yeah, and the lines are open on 133353 as well. Let's go to Kingsley. Morning, Anne.
Hey, yeah. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Anna. What's your favourite dish and where?
I love Mongolian sizzling beef and their special fried rice. It's absolutely amazing. Ooh. Really good food.
Oh, is this in Kingsley, Anna?
The dishes are brilliant. Sorry?
Is this in Kingsley?
Yes, it's in Woodvale.
Oh, okay.
Yep, the Mongolian sizzling beef.
Sizzling beef, it's lovely. It really is good.
And there's nothing worse or better than when you're really hungry and someone's sizzling dish goes past you and it's not yours.
Yeah, that's Maine's envy,
isn't
it?
Yeah, that's real envy.
It's the best way, yeah, definitely.
Good on you, Anna.
Okay, that's one to write down. Wayne's in Swanview. Wayne, where are you going to get the best dish in your suburb?
7th Avenue down in Midland. It's lamb shanks. They just... fall apart off the fork and they melt in your mouth. They're beautiful.
Oh, is that the pub there, Wayne?
Yeah. Wednesday night, tonight, shank and ribs night.
Oh, nice one. Wednesday night. Lamb shank.
Is it Wednesday? Please tell me it's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Awesome.
Shank and ribs night.
Falling off the bone. Good one, Wayne. Yeah.
Oh, it's melting your mouth.
I'm so hungry.
Thanks, Wayne.
Just by saying falling off the bone, that's the bit that makes me feel disgusting.
Sure, I understand that.
Sorry, Kim.
Trish is in Padbury. Trish, what's the best dish in your suburb?
Oh, it has to be like the mixed grill platter. It's a tandoori mixed grill from the Angiti restaurant in Padbury.
Yeah, you're talking.
It's amazing. Like the whole restaurant's amazing, but that, mind-blowing.
Trish, do you go a bit extra spicy with some of this stuff?
Oh, yeah. You have to get a side of extra sauces and chutneys and stuff, yeah.
And the mixed grill, is that just a bunch of different meats and, cool.
Yeah, they do like meats on sticks. There's seafood. There's lamb. There's a bit of everything, chicken, a couple of different types of chicken, some less spicy. So the kids love it. And it's massive.
It's a massive
platter.
I have memories of myself eating a whole tandoori mixed grill.
A whole thing?
Yeah,
a whole
just
restaurant.
Sitting there on my own.
A shared plate for four.
Yeah.
More yogurt for this bloke?
Yeah.
Hot. Sally, what about Wembley? What's the dish in your suburb that's just the best?
Oh, yellow pancake from the Yellow Pancake, a Vietnamese small little restaurant, and it's fantastic.
Oh, wow. What's a yellow pancake?
Oh, it's a traditional Vietnamese dish, and it's absolutely beautiful, and it's crispy, and it has free range, either prawns and pork or chicken. And it's only a very small restaurant, but it has just the best food on the menu. It's all fresh and honest to God, and it's a great price.
Okay, well, that's even better. Yeah. Okay. Yellow, I have had that in Melbourne, actually. It is delicious.
Yellow pancakes. Yeah. Sally, you sound like a shareholder.
But as Molly Melton used to say, do yourself a favour.
Do yourself the proverbial favour.
Nice, Sally.
Oh, nice Australianism there from Sal.
Oh, and down in Harvey, our mate Tiny. G'day, Tiny.
Tiny!
Hey, crew, how are we?
Good,
very well, mate. Are you going to give us the best dish in Harvey?
Best if not only in Harvey but also in Perth. I've been told I've got to be quick.
Yeah.
So every time I come to Perth, because I've lost a little bit of weight in 68 kilos with my lap band.
Lost a man,
which is a man or three models. I live on mashed potato, And the best mashed potato in town, if anyone wants it, is a tie between Fraser's Restaurant with Chris Taylor up
there. Sure, yeah, yeah.
Or Tisha's Restaurant on the corner of Milligan and Hay, I think it is.
Right.
And they are the best mashed potatoes you could ever want.
There, oh, and you know your mash.
You know
your mash. Mash.
The man
exactly.
knows his mash.
We've said it many a function next to you, Tiny, when you go on your mash. So you're a mash connoisseur.
Exactly. Good on you, Chris.
Good on you, Tiny. Mate. Take care, mate. Great to hear from you.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
We're so close this morning to a pyjama party with one Kimber Kale.
Certainly were.
Well, I just left the house, jumped in the car and realised I still had my pyjama pants on. Didn't bother dressing this morning, apparently. Okay. Want to know what your outfit failure was. Jodie's in Gosnells. Jodie, what did you do?
I arrived at work feeling rather uncomfortable in the clutch area.
Yep.
And I walked around all morning feeling like this. Eventually, I checked it out in the men's room and realised that I still had a peg in my underpants.
Put a peg on it. Yes. Hey, what sort of region was it in, Jodie? Like the peg, front or back?
In the front.
Oh, dear.
Yikes.
Dear.
Oh, I love that. An innocent peg.
An innocent peg. That's awesome.
Great. Thanks, Jodie. Great call.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Got in the car this morning in pyjamas on my way to work. Realised, oh dear, go back, put pants on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just thought, why not? I don't think you guys would have cared. It would have been fine in here.
No, we would have gone, oh, casual Kimber. Great, good on you.
Yeah. But we want to know what your outfit failure was. Dee's in Balcatta. Dee, what did you do?
Well, quite a few years ago in the 80s, I got myself a little black dress. I had these fantastic pantyhose with silver thread through. Thought, it's going to look great, off to the nightclub. But the only thing was, the pantyhose were a little bit small, so I thought, I'll fix this problem. I'll put another pair of panties over the pantyhose. So off I go to the club.
And that keeps them up?
Oh, yeah, that solved the problem.
Yep.
So after the ladies, I go after one too many drinks, pull down my pantyhose.
Yep.
Forgot I had the other pair on, sat down and peed in the pants.
Oh, no.
I could see where that was going,
Dee.
Number
one. Oh, but it was okay. I had another pair of panties I could put on after.
You did, yes.
Well done. Nothing like having a spare.
Hey, they say layers are important, yeah. And you've just proven it.
Love it. Thanks, Dee.
Absolutely. Layer it up.
Hey, Dee, can't believe you admitted that. Well done.
That's great.
It's brilliant.
Excellent. Let's go to Champion Lake. Steve, tell us about your wardrobe fail.
Morning, guys. It actually wasn't me. It was a friend of mine. Went out for a gig out near Hyde Park, got the VIP passes and everything like that. Got to realise that when he was... later that night, that he had his shirt size still stickered on his shirt saying XXL. The plastic slips all the way down it. Oh. Had photos with the artist or whatnot, posted them on Facebook, and still didn't even realise until he got home with the missus during the night. She goes, do you realise your shirt size is still on?
Those stickers are pretty big too. They're pretty long.
Yeah.
And also funny. When you've taken a photo with someone, you can't wait to have your photo taken with. That's the worst.
Especially with the VIP treatment and everything as well. You know, he brought the brand new shirt, trying to hook the goods and everything. And
awesome.
Thanks, Steve. Very ignorant person, VIP. Let's go to South Yonder up. G'day, Carla. What about that outfit fail? What did you do?
Good morning. Mine was a bit similar to yours, Claire. I jumped up out of the bath in the morning, milk for the kids at school, bolted down to the shop. I just took my trackies on.
Yep.
I'm standing in line waiting at the shop, and the next minute I feel something in my leg, and I scream, and I shake my leg, and I shake it because I thought there was like a mouse in there, and my knickers come fly out in the middle of the shop, and all the people in the line are like looking at me and looking at my undies on the floor.
Oh, dear.
And they're kind of looking at me and talk about embarrassment plus. But those undies actually won my husband a dart championship because he accidentally put them on one night and wore them playing darts.
Hey.
He did really well.
That's a powerful pair of underpants. Stops shopping and wins darts games.
Go the Bonds.
I love how much attention you drew to yourself too. I screamed.
It was so embarrassing. I don't go to that shop.
Hey, Carla, did you actually go and pick them up? Did you go and claim them?
I did pick them up and I put them in my pocket.
With everybody watching.
Yeah, with everybody watching. A real sticky situation.
How embarrassment.
This
well done.
This makes me want to go and buy nicer underwear. just to be on my game.
Be on the safe side.
I wish we could get a photo of you in your jammies today.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire's, Matt and Kimber.
He survived a lot of things, including two trials eating the most disgusting food in the jungle.
Yes.
And we speak of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and now he's free. Former Hawthorn champ Dermot Brereton's out. Congratulations, mate. You're free.
Yeah, how you going, guys? And he's 11.2 kilos lighter.
Oh,
yeah. I'm starving.
What an effort.
Dermot,
well,
we could tell you really shrunk. I mean, it looked like you were a kid wearing his dad's clothes when you left the jungle.
I can't fit my pants. Well, I can fit them, but there's room in there for two. I was 100.1. I'm now 88.9.
Wow.
And that's on a really accurate scale. Can you believe that? I haven't been under 90 kilos since I was a teenager.
Oh, mate, I've got to become a celebrity so I can get on that diet, that's for sure. that do remember you from those years, and you gave us so many great memories, some bad for me because I'm a Bombers supporter, you've just enhanced your sex symbol status, mate. They're calling you a DILF.
There's a lot of desperate middle-aged women out there, I reckon, if that's the case. No, as my dear departed father would say, you've got a head only a mother could love.
Hey, mate, I know there was a lot of challenges whilst you're in there, but I was sure they were going to bring Mark Yates in just to give you the shits.
Fantastic. I love Yatesy. That's 30 years this year.
I know. I was thinking that.
Over into the new year.
Big setup in the 89 grand final at Yates, I think the instruction of Malcolm Blow, wasn't it? Run into him.
Yeah.
Go and get Dermy.
Yeah, run into him and do as much damage as you can. And he certainly did that with aplomb. Anything that came out of any tent or jungle with a Geelong jumper on would have scared the bejesus out of him.
Well, you would have seen him this time.
Having said that, the one who fixed me up the most was a bloke who used to wear number 24 for the West Coast Eagles.
The pharmacist.
John Worsfold, yeah.
Yeah.
People agree to go on this show for all kinds of reasons. Did you get what you wanted out of it?
Yeah, well, I haven't been paid yet. That's the main thing. People will say, I wanted to challenge themselves. They wanted a free trip to Africa. I'm not allowed to say how much I got paid, but I said yes to the fee.
Right.
I truly did want to go on there for the challenge. I wanted to see if there were really stupid people within celebrity circles, and there is, Shane Crawford being one of them. And I also, an ex-West Australian boy who's become one of my great, great mates, Scott Waters, and another great mate, Trevor Handy, the world's greatest ever Ironman, have started up a charity 4 years ago, Life Changer. I wanted to really bring their charity to the forefront and get exposure for them because they are doing incredibly good work, Life Changer, at identifying, targeting at-risk youth in at-risk areas and putting in a lot of preventional work before there needs to be rehabilitation work after misdemeanors. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention as well.
That's fantastic, mate. Well done. And I guess you would have expected to see your old mate Shane Crawford and get along and be able to banter quite easily. Were you surprised by anyone? Did anyone sort of step out and you go, oh my God, we actually have a lot in common?
Sam Dastyari.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm going to struggle with somebody like Sam Dastyari, his beliefs, his political views. You know what? He was such an interesting man, such an intelligent man, such a polite man, hilarious, funny, fantastic turn of phrase in his stories. I was spellbound by listening to him talking. I thoroughly enjoyed spending time with him.
Great stuff.
Hey, mate, well done. Go and have some freedom and make sure you get paid on the way out.
Thank you very much. And to all the people in Perth who voted for me and Shane, me or Shane, thank you for your support. I'd love to say go Eagles and go the Dockers. I love some of the boys who were playing at the Dockers. The Eagles have had a fair share. Best team of the finals. Got their rich reward. But can you keep voting for that stupid, silly, moronic little man by the name of Shane Crawford, and let's get an AFL winner as King of the Jungle this year.
Thanks, mate. All the best.
Pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
It doesn't matter how much you love cooking, it doesn't mean it always works out.
Oh, no.
Mick and Jody from Victoria had big ambitions, high hopes, but it all fell flat on MKR last night.
Oh, did it?
Yeah,
oh,
My Kitchen Rules. The other teams described their entree as inedible, which is a bit rough. And Pete and Manu only gave it 1 and 2 points, respectively.
The chicken liver pate was overcooked and the bread was under-seasoned. The score I'm giving you for your entree is a 1.
This the bread was under-seasoned.
I know, I just have my bread as
here.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm. This makes me not want to ever have anyone over for dinner. It's just the idea that everyone is so judgmental.
Oh, Spentley, not those two judges, my goodness.
Yeah, the beef Wellington only scored 3s and the dessert was the only thing that allowed them to even return to the table, I think, probably, without being completely shunned. 45 out of 130 was the score. Yep. And I think it can't be easy. If you're having dinner with people that, you know, there's some pretty terrible company on the table.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
It's a bit intimidating, isn't
it? Then at least you want some decent food.
Yes,
you know, if you're going to have to tolerate the company, you need the food to save you, and that's not happening.
Yeah, you don't want to be served unseasoned bread.
No.
Not MKR. With those two brothers, funny-looking brothers looking at you.
Yeah, they're judgmental, aren't they?
No. Yeah.
MKR, it's back on tonight, on 7 at 7. And guys, if you're in the search for love...
Yeah.
I mean,
remember
that
well.
The old perfect match.
Yeah.
This is the closest we get now. Network 10 on the search for The Bachelor and the ladies too.
Right,
so if you'd either like to nominate a bachelor or if you'd like to put yourself in as a bachelor or if you're one of the ladies looking for a man, they want their next season hopefuls.
Okay. Right.
Okay, so I've gone to the casting agent to see what you need. But they want single women between the ages of 23 and 45.
Yep.
Single men between the ages of 25 and 40. And you've got to be prepared to start filming in March and it could take 12 weeks of your time.
Okay.
Okay, so you've just got to complete an application form, answer some questions, upload 2 current photos of yourself and a 2-minute video of yourself.
Why are men considered off the shelf at 40 and women get to 45?
Oh, because we're the ones, because that way when they put in the 20-year-olds with the 45-year-old, they can make us feel bad about ourselves.
Okay, cool. Just had to get that right.
I'm pretty sure that's how they do it.
Just had to season that bread.
That's actually the cougar roll. Sorry about that.
And you have to be single to apply. That's the rule.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just so you know. But
yeah, people lie about that anyway.
The deadline of this is Sunday the 17th of Feb, and you can go to bachelor.castersugar.com if you know someone or yourself might be looking for love.
Really?
So, do they stipulate that they can't have had a fling with any of the other people who are coming on the show?
No, that's if you have had a fling with someone, that gets you on the show.
Gets you brownie points. Yeah. And I've got to say, on this day, and it's going to be a hot day in Perth today, but cast your mind back. This day, 2000 was the year, so 19 years ago.
Yes.
The big day out was at Bassendean Oval, home Swan District's footy club.
Yep.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
We're only a few weeks away from seeing them back here in Perth, so it was a long time ago. Local lads and girl, Jebediah. And the lineup also include Grinspoon. It was 36 degrees that day and there were 35,000 people packed into that ground. And Swans didn't really get that many because they couldn't fit people on the ground during a game of footy.
Yes.
No. So that was a huge, very, very hot day there. Big day out, got big crowds.
You know who you missed that day? Nine Inch Nails.
Nine Inch Nails
were
there?
It was the best show and I left Nine Inch Nails 20 minutes early to go and see Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm like, that was a big call because Trent Reznor put on a show that year.
I'm a Trent fan who's doing music for movies these days.
Loved it. Yep. That's your Daily Juice.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
We all know that Elle Macpherson is an international name, particularly for her modelling and more recently her business career.
Mm-hmm.
She was a Sports Illustrated superstar. She was in the Tab ads as a teenager way back in 1982 or something like that, like a long time ago. Now, in March, she'll turn 55. And if you turn to page 51 of the paper today, if you've got the paper, I'm sure it's online as well.
21, page 21.
There is a story about Elle Macpherson. Of course, we've always called her the body, right? She's still
for
got the
good
body.
Reason.
She's nearly 55. She's still got the body at 55. And it makes me wonder how many people will pick up the paper today, particularly women, and go, I really don't want to see that.
Well,
I've never looked like that in bathers.
I have actually. Yeah.
Slim hip pillow.
Yeah.
I mean, like she's got a bit of a column, a beauty and health column. And she on the it's called Get the Gloss, and she was giving information on how you can kind of get good sleep and how to take care of yourself.
The secret to looking this good at 54.
The secret to looking this good at 54 is to eat dinner before 6 p.m. She says.
Yeah. Okay, what about brewing that pot of calming tea and drinking an hour before bed?
Yes, that's fine as long as it's from her wellness brand.
Got to be the right label.
Yeah, it's got to be the right brand.
Well, some of them are easy. I like it when the second tip is just to get fresh air every day. I feel like I'm living the same life as Elle.
Well, I used to get more fresh air when I smoked because I was going out onto the balcony all the time.
Yeah.
Breath of fresh air in effect. Kimbo, look at Elle McPherson's hips.
Yep.
Or lack thereof. So she goes pretty much straight up and down at 54. Mm. Now, that almost seems unnatural. Do you think that Elle very rarely eats?
No, look, it's one of these things. I mean, I'm going to say either genetically blessed or she just works really hard. And quite often you find these people and they go, oh, I'm at the gym 7 days a week and I do an hour and a half or 2 hours a day. And I'm like, well, that's why you look the way you do and well, I don't.
Exactly.
I kind of have to just suck it up. If I'm going to sit around and eat cake and chocolate all day,
I
can look at that and go, yeah, all right, you earned it.
And work, not just work on your body.
Yeah, exactly. Like you earned it. You get to look like that.
We
you know?
See this from all of these influencers and she predates influencers, of course. But, you know, if all you have to do is look after yourself all day, you're probably going to look pretty good.
Probably look okay. And
look after ourselves every day and we don't manage?
Sure, but
do what you can.
Yeah. We have jobs and then we've got to try and fit in gyms and walks and eating
Hugh Jackman or Matt Damon or someone looks great in that movie. Look how ripped he is. But he's probably been working at that for 3 months with a very good personal trainer, dietitian and that. But, I mean, I do look at Ellen and do wonder what she eats.
Yeah.
Is it a tic-tac or is it fruit and veg?
Calming tea.
I don't know. She looks healthy to me.
She is. And we saw Madonna do the same thing in her 50s as well, remember? And she got really, you know, muscular, but very thin. And at times it didn't look as good as, well, perhaps Elle's looking. But
Maybe I'll just hold off on the cake today just for a bit.
No. Be yourself. Be yourself.
Just spray lavender, calming lavender on your pillow before bed.
That's all I need. Yeah,
everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Oh, guys, the search for love is not an easy one.
It isn't, no.
And Jen missed this story, unfortunately, but 25-year-old Japanese man Yuta Shinohara.
Oh, sounds Irish.
Yeah.
Oh, Shinohara. Oh, yeah, I know him well.
You know, he was on the hunt for love, looking for a special someone.
As you do.
And he found her.
Oh, what, married at first sight?
Yeah, he found Lisa and he absolutely fell in love. Lisa was the love of his life. Okay. But unfortunately, after dating for only a year, she passed away.
Oh, no. It's horrible. Kimber.
Oh, I'm
sorry. I don't want to start the day like this.
No wonder Jen missed the story.
I'm sorry.
And I'm assuming Lisa wasn't Japanese because it's not a very Japanese name, Lisa, is it?
It's not a Japanese name, but he knew that they were meant to be together, but it turns out that Lisa was a cockroach. Hey!
That's the closest thing to a cockroach song we can find.
He dated a cockroach for a year.
La cockarocha.
That's how desperate we've come. That's the state of love. That's where we're at, people.
Dear. Well, I guess at least if you date for a year, you get all of those significant, you know, you get a Valentine's Day, you get a birthday, you get a Christmas together, and you get what happens when you get covered in bagon.
Well, you think they go on cockroach dates or baits? Like, because he's got the little plastic house for her to climb into at night.
The challenging thing for him is that he said no human girl was ever as attractive as Lisa was.
Right, great thoughts.
What a guy.
And, I mean, he knew that she was going to die because they don't have a really long lifespan.
Sure.
But, you know, he said he really dreamed about being physically intimate with her. He knew that he couldn't, but he definitely dreamed about it. He said sometimes he would dream that maybe he was smaller.
Yes.
Or that she were bigger.
Oh, fantasizing.
Who hasn't thought that?
I don't want to think
the other way around.
But we want giant cockroaches. She would go from being the most attractive woman he's ever met to just be. Imagine how big a cockroach is going to look, how ridiculous it will be human size.
If you were small.
Yeah, like sticking its legs and tentacles in your ears.
I wouldn't mind all of that. It's just that, you know, imagine the crumbs.
Oh, mate, that'd be massive.
I don't even know what I mean by that.
Apparently Lisa got really nervous whenever he wore thongs. Yeah. You just got to be careful, don't you?
You know what's heartbreaking, though?
No, what? It doesn't get worse.
Well, it gets worse. Of course it does. I mean, he dated the cockroach for a year and Lisa died and it was all very sad.
That is sad.
Right.
And so then he ate her.
Oh, dear.
God.
He ate her because he thought that then that way he will live on, she will live on inside him forever.
Yes. Gastroenteritis and other things. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's okay. He's used to eating bugs. He's an entomophagist. Entomophagist?
Entomophagist.
He's
called.
A cockroach muncher.
People who eat cockroach, like insects instead of animal meats.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Plenty of extra protein.
So no wonder he fell in love with a cockroach because he obviously has a thing for insects anyway.
Yeah, he's got a thing for them.
Yeah.
Clearly. I mean, he's imagining having sex with a life-size cockroach.
Oh, have a look at this grasshopper. Yuta, come over here. I've got a friend for you to meet.
Stop moving on.
RAC knows maps, music or messenger don't matter more than driving safely. Look up, WA. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.